So let's say that together. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. Now let's try that in a breath prayer. So we're going to inhale the first part of that, if we live by the Spirit, and then we're going to exhale, let's follow the Spirit. Let's try that and see how we do. Ready? Inhale. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. Let's try that again. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. Every breath we take in the Spirit is an opportunity to bear fruit in the world that is life-giving and life-transforming. So what would the flip side of that be? Well, if we live by the law, that means traditions and rules and regulations, chances are we're going to follow our own selfish desires. And in that sense, we only become arrogant, make each other angry, or we find that we're jealous of one another. So there's really, as I see it and as the Apostle Paul saw it, as explained in his letter to the Galatians, there's really only two ways of living. One that results in a heart at peace for me and for you, and a purpose for others to know that heart of peace. The other results in a heart that's at war, really without any real purpose at all other than to do things our own way. Yesterday was an incredible spiritual and emotional high for me as we experienced Jane Patterson's celebration of life. I almost said memorial service, and in a way, it was a beautiful memorial service. But this was indeed an incredible celebration of life. In fact, some of you were here, and it was kind of lengthy because we had a lot to try to say about Jane Patterson and how she changed our lives by her living the Spirit. But it was absolutely precious because in that experience, we talked about what a cocoon life might be if we lived apart from the Spirit, and what life is like a butterfly when it's set free, when we live in the Spirit. And we got to experience that out in the courtyard when all of the family members, 30 of them, had little boxes in their hands where cocoons had resided. And they opened them up and the butterflies were set free. It was a marvelous visual conception of the life we live in and by the Spirit. Jane lived by the Spirit, producing fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, to an extent, there were moments where she was quite human. But what she discovered was that life in the Spirit allows a freedom for us to be uniquely who God created us to be. Fun, loving, compassionate, connecting people. And that was Jane. I remember my last moments with her just a couple of days before she died. Now, Jane was never still, as was shared in her service yesterday. She was always active, doing the work of loving people and sharing her gifts of love and mercy and kindness with everyone she met. But in those moments, as she began to settle down and prepare herself for her life transition, I remember sitting beside her and finding myself being anxious from all the weight of the world of the day. And the sun had already set, and it was toward a later part of the evening when I went to visit. I found myself very grateful for that peaceful moment, watching her breathe in and breathe out, knowing that she would only be with us for a short time more. But when I reached out to touch her hand and say a prayer with her, she opened her eyes, and even though she was frail and weak, she reached up and she grabbed my face. And she had that brilliant look of joy on her face. And her look penetrated my heart. Her heart at peace spoke to me these words: "Isn't life grand? Isn't life grand?" Yes. Yes, yes, Jane, life is grand. Yes, church, when we live by the Spirit and follow the Spirit's lead, our life as a representative of God's light and love is a marvelous place to shine in our community and in our world. Well, last Friday, I had an opportunity to be involved in a family event where each member was allowed to write a reflective poem. The only thing we had to guide us were the lead-ins to sentences, such as, I am, dot, dot, dot. We had to fill in the blank. I want, dot, dot, dot. I long for, dot, dot, dot. You get the picture. Well, afterwards, when we put our poems together, we began sharing with one another those poems. And it was interesting to see how some of us completed the sentence, I wonder. There seemed to have been a shared wondering. The sentence was completed for most of us like this. I wonder what the future will bring. I wonder what the future will bring. Do any of you wonder what the future will bring? Yeah. Another one that we shared a common ending to the sentence was, in the lead-in, I long for. We shared together that longing for peace. Might those longings be true for us today? It was a great experience in empathy, humility, vulnerability, and becoming aware of the inner spirit's well-being of ourselves and each other. And by the end of that session together, it demonstrated our unique qualities and yet our shared values as human beings. In one simple exercise, our stories revealed in poetry moved us from being strangers to a more inviting, inclusive place where we felt connected with one another, where we felt we belonged, and where we felt we had purpose. This experience was similar to the work that we have done together through Point of View, as we've explored our understanding of who we are individually and as the church, and how we have wrestled with the tensions we experience in our churches and in our culture today. Oftentimes, those tensions cause us to feel defensive, distant, devalued, and disconnected. There's plenty of chaos in the world, right? All we have to do is turn on the TV or involve ourselves in social media, and we find these great tensions that cause such dysfunction and such disconnect. Well, Jesus was all too familiar with the tensions and the vulnerability, the danger and the messiness of God's mission of universal, unconditional love and grace for all. Yet we learn in the 10th chapter of Luke that he entrusted 72 ordinary men and women to be ambassadors of this good news everywhere he intended to go. Jesus instructed them on how to maintain the unity of the Spirit with grace in the bond of peace while communing with strangers. He also knew how quickly we get our nose out of joint when things don't go our way or they don't go as we had planned, and how prideful we can become when we do. Well, upon their return to Jesus was overflowing with joy from the Holy Spirit because Jesus realized that ordinary human beings got it. And they were willing to share the love and joy with people out in the communities without fear of being squished like bugs. When my kids were young and we engaged in a family fallout every once in a while, did you ever have a fallout in your families? We would have those periods of cooling off or sometimes warming up the timeout chair. But in either way, there would be one of us that would say, is it all right if we have a do-over? Or can we start over? You see, it was an unwritten covenant that we had made with each other that we would allow forgiveness to take place so that we could reconnect. It was a deep longing within my children and me to know that we really mattered to one another. And so we would offer those periods of forgiveness. Now, sometimes those opportunities were far apart. Sometimes it took us a long time to cool down and offer that forgiveness. But it seemed like there was always this longing within us after a heated argument that we wanted peace. We sought unity. we wanted to focus on what really mattered most, and that was our relationship with one another. Now, that didn't mean that we got what we wanted. Oftentimes, it meant that we had to compromise. But I think it was a way for my family to understand that God's grace is sufficient to wiggle in those areas of tension in our family, that we might know the peace and the joy we can find when we allow the Spirit to override our spirits. I think we must come to an understanding that the only one who makes our connection and reconnection with one another possible, whether it's with a stranger or the strange or the estranged, is the one who created us in the image of God, made us family, whether we like it or not, by calling all of us, children of God, the one fully aware of our selfish desires and our tendencies to fight or to flee or to freeze when we feel threatened or fearful, the one who longs for us as his children to lead a life worthy of the calling to which we've all been called, with our all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. I believe the world is longing for this connection, belonging, and purpose. The harvest is ready. It's been ready. And we as the church must put aside our differences that divide us and work to engage acts of mercy and justice that make such unity and peace attainable. Nancy, I'm with you. I believe it is possible. But sometimes we need to move our broken spirits out of the way so that God can breathe something new within us, something that will transform the world. Recently, while I was standing in a line at the polls to vote, did anybody stand in a line? If you did early voting, it was a little bit shorter, but if you waited till the last minute, it was a long line. Well, I tuned into this conversation that was taking place behind me between 6 or 8 persons. I didn't look to see who they were, but I sure was interested in what they were saying. They didn't identify their political party preference or talk about the issues that were going on and trying to encourage each other, sway each other to go their way or to vote their way. But these were just ordinary people who shared a common longing in their discussion for an end to the divisive thoughts and actions, the harm it brings, and the fear it instills. They shared a common longing for unity and peace for everyone's sake. But in the midst of all of that longing, one person said, "Yeah, but we know that when we walk out of here, we're not going to be on the same page." Well, the election is over. And chances are we're not all on the same page this morning, even though we share a pew with someone. I'm pretty sure when we walk out of these doors this morning, we're not going to be on the same page about a lot of things, right? But we have been guided here this morning by God's Spirit to recall the gifts and of unconditional love and grace that are offered to us through Jesus Christ. We come seeking relief from our storms, strength for our journeys, reassurance that we're not alone. We come not necessarily longing to admit our shortcomings or the ways we have denied Christ in the past week because of our own selfish desires. Though we need to model to the world a heart that's unafraid to admit when we're doing wrong, we come expecting to be forgiven and to offer forgiveness. We come expecting to be accepted into the fellowship of our church family. And hopefully, we are here to be stirred, to be challenged and motivated, to join God in the mission of making all things new. We come to affirm our faith and to commit our own responsibilities for carrying out our ministries of mercy and justice in a spirit of unconditional love. We come that we might hear Christ calling us in our own distinctiveness with our own many gifts to go into every city and place where Jesus is going, where there is injustice done, where there is heartache, where there is hunger, where there is hate, and to live in a spirit and follow the spirit that leads as we seek unity and restoration, justice and peace for all. What kind of church are we really longing for? The Reverend Elaine Heath's book, God's Unbound Wisdom from Galatians for the Anxious Church, and boy, is the United Methodist Church and its global connection. We are finding ourselves in an ancient time. But this tiny little book is a great treasure of hope, I believe, for the church. In it, I want to share with you some of the words that she has shared with me as she's wrestled with her own anxiety and allowed herself a contemplative timeout to study Galatians and hear what God might speak to her through the Spirit. She reminds us that the God who made us loves us and will not fail us. This church belongs to God. The church is God's idea, not ours. Our vocation as the church involves our participation with God so that we can give this world a glimpse into God's great heart of love. To live fully into God's dream for all creation, we need to come to terms with the reality that the God we love, the God revealed in Christ, is way much bigger than we've ever sought to know. God has never been bound by our theology or our traditions. Too often, I'm afraid, we church shop for the traditions that are most familiar with and align with our own beliefs and our practices. Our hearts become restless when we sense the unfamiliarity that change often brings. What if, rather than asking what kind of church are we longing for, we were to ask instead, what kind of church is God looking for? How might that change our perspective and influence our response? We need to see and experience the unbound God alive and working in the tensions of our lives and in the margins of our communities where Jesus loves to hang out. We need to still the noise and the distractions of divisive thoughts and speech in order to see what God may be trying to show us, what we as the church might do differently in the future, and the ways we might get involved to really make a difference. During a recent discussion in our experience in worship that we hold a couple of times each month, with a lot of young families who seek to do worship in a tradition that's all of their own design. And with an experience I shared with a middle school youth a couple of weeks ago, I asked what characteristics of the church might Jesus believe to be important for God's mission in the world today? Well, some of the things that we got were this. I gave each table or each group, I divided us into groups, and I gave each person a cloth. And I said, this represents the church. Write on there all the characteristics or the values of the church that you believe Jesus is longing for today. And so they wrote all kinds of things like love, kindness, you know, the fruit of the Spirit that we read in Galatians chapter 5. A lot of it had to do with harmony and unity, which we've been focusing on today. This child wrote working together. He thought that that was something the church should value. Then we took the opportunity, I asked this question, what kinds of thoughts or actions, what kinds of behavior cause harm to the church and ultimately are witness to the world? And as they looked at their church, I made them cut or tear the places where those divisive thoughts or actions affected the church and affected our witness. I asked them how they felt about that, and believe it or not, in a middle school over there at the treehouse, it got pretty solemn. They didn't like it damaging their church. They thought their church was better than the other churches that they saw, all these different colors. And then I asked, what would it take for God to reconnect us and to make us new. If the Spirit of God could live in you and live in me, could Jesus heal our church? And they began writing on these puzzles, these puzzle strips, all the different places, whether we are familiar with those actions or thoughts or behaviors, or it's something that we hope that we can become when we live by the Spirit. They added these to the church. And on their own, they connected all the pieces together. Church, I ask you this morning, what do you sense that God is longing for the church today? And who are the people that are missing in our church? Where might we find them if we were to have a larger vision of what God wants to do in the world? We need a larger vision of God, the one incarnate in Jesus, the one whose Spirit awakens us anew each day with grace upon grace to encounter new beginnings in the faces and the places where God resides. Church, we need to pray for ourselves and for one another, and we need to pray for the church that the Spirit of God will open our eyes and our hearts to the Christ in us as the body of Christ, making all things new, especially when we start to grieve or become defensive or find that we need to make the church be what we want the church to be. Church, if we live by the Spirit, and I'm here to tell you it's the only true way for us to live, let's follow the Spirit. Let us pray. O God of second chances and new beginnings, send your Holy Spirit, that Spirit that awakens in each person here, with the unconditional love and grace that you gift to us. Give us new wisdom, new insight, and a deep refreshment of great hope for the church and for what you long to do in the kingdom of God right here, right now. In the Spirit of Christ we pray. Amen and amen.